Well, could we open our Bibles, please, at the book of Acts, chapter 6? And we'll just look at one verse here as a starting off text in the book of Acts and chapter 6. And we read here in verse 5. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we think upon this man Stephen and his witness for thee, we pray, Lord, that thou would encourage us tonight to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ, to speak just that word for him. Do bless us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. This morning, some of you aren't there, but those that were with us this morning know we talked upon the lampstand. You remember the lamp? The oil lamp, and how in the temple and the tabernacle there was a seven-branched lampstand. And it spoke of Christ, of course, as the light, but it also spoke of churches, of individual Christians, each lamp. And it had a wick, and it was filled with oil, not paraffin oil as we use, but olive oil. And we spoke about a picture of Christians, how we ought to be witnessing for the Lord with the power of the Holy Spirit. And we mentioned the great missionary Elliot, Jim Elliot, how he wrote that in his journal the last year of his Bible college, that he wanted to burn for the Lord. He wanted to be a flame. Even, Lord, if my life is short, let me be a flame of witness for you. And we spoke about that this morning. And we're to be shine as lights in the midst of a perverse nation. Well, I thought about this passage because it gives us an illustration of the truth of what we spoke about this morning. Because Stephen was a man who was a light. He shone in his witness. Why? Because he was filled, empowered, fueled, if you like, with the oil of God, the Holy Spirit. For we pointed out that oil in Scripture is a type of the Holy Spirit. The priests, the kings, the prophets anointed with oil. In other words, the Holy Spirit came upon them to empower them. So Stephen was a witness in that sense. And then I was reading the chapter, and over in chapter 7, when I was thinking about this story, and I noticed the word stiff-necked. And I had to smile to myself, because as I mentioned in the prayer meeting on Wednesday night, I took a chapter of another psalm, and I noticed in it there was stiff-necked. Because when we're over there away for the break, I woke up on the Wednesday morning and I had a stiff neck. I don't know what it did. I don't know what happened. But I've been taking tablets and the arm and the shoulder and the neck are still sore. So if you have any good cures, I'll just take it away. Let me know. And I know some of you too here tonight have stiff necks as well. And it's an annoying trouble to have nerves in the neck and spreading to your arm and so on. I talked about stiff necked. But of course, it's not talking about a physical stiff neck. I trust you don't get one. And hope it goes away soon and yours goes away. But there's something far more serious than to have a physical stiff neck. It's to have a spiritual stiff neck. Because the consequences can be catastrophic in this life. And if it's not cured, on into eternity. Because if someone doesn't turn from their stiff neck, there's no hope of salvation. So when I look at this story, there's the two themes. Number one, as we go through it, the fact, the encouragement to spur us on that God can use you, Christian, to be a witness for him. You say, oh, but I can't speak. I'm not like other Christians are really bold and know what to say, and I'm just not like that. Well, the Holy Spirit can use you, every Christian. But secondly, it's a theme of warning. Warning that if you know not Christ and you're not being obedient to him, we must warn you that this story of Stephen warns against being stiff-necked. So the point is, he used this committee man. That's what he was, a committee man. He wasn't an apostle. Wasn't a full-time preacher. He was a committee man in the church at Jerusalem. And yet God used him in a great way, and he became, as it were, the wick through which the Holy Spirit worked to shine the gospel to these men. I want you to think, first of all, the reason why Stephen shone like a light. Why he shone? Well, we've read it in our text in chapter 6 and 5. He was full of the Holy Ghost. That's why. It wasn't because he was a great debater, although he did debate with men who were religious leaders, Jewish, from various synagogues. In fact, you'll see there the synagogue of Cilicia. Do you know that's Paul came from Tarsus in Cilicia? So there's every reason to believe that, well, Saul later became Paul, was one of the men with whom he debated. No, it wasn't because he had great wisdom. It's because he was full of the Holy Spirit. Just as this morning the high priest poured the oil into the lamp and it burnt, God poured the oil of the Holy Spirit into Stephen's life. And he was enabled by the Holy Spirit to shine. And there's a lesson for every one of us who name the name of Christ. You can never be the Christian, whether it's in our day-to-day life, the Christian son, daughter, parent, husband, wife, whatever, worker, student, whatever we do, and certainly in the matter of witnessing, speaking for Christ. We cannot do it in our own ability. The power, the fuel, must come from the Holy Spirit. Without me, you can do nothing. So Christ doesn't send us out to be witnesses on our own. He gives the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells every Christian, or you're not saved. That's a way to check if you're saved. Does the Holy Spirit live within you? He does in every Christian. Born again of the Spirit of God. But that's different to be filled, to be controlled by the Spirit. And what does it mean to be controlled by the Spirit? Well, look at verse 3. He was full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. See that? Wisdom. God gave him wisdom. Look down at verse 10. Verse 10. It says they couldn't resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spake. Now, how did he speak? Well, he was on trial for his life. And these religious leaders, the Sanhedrin, were the 70 top Jewish leaders. They were judges. He's in a court. You can see these 70 men, high priests there. Go ahead and speak. And it's a long message in chapter 7. And you might read it and say, well, that's just a resume of Old Testament history. It tells all about Abraham and then Jacob and David and the prophets. And sure, anybody can learn the Old Testament history. Sure, anybody can learn the stories and tell them. That's true. That's knowledge. That's not wisdom. I remember a man I knew some years ago, and do you know, in his late teens, he had a brilliant memory, and he memorized the whole New Testament. He could quote the whole New Testament, and yet he wasn't saved. Didn't know the Lord. He did come to Christ, became a minister. Remember him telling me, oh, I'm going back now into the early 80s. He was visiting one day, and he forgot his Bible. The time before mobile phones where you have Bible on it and so on. And he opened the diary and he just started Matthew 28, you know, on the first day. It's as if he was reading it, but he was quoting it. He knew the whole Testament. Yes, you can have knowledge of Christian things, but that's not the same as wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to apply it. And this man, God gave him wisdom. Why? Because he was full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. It was not a natural wisdom. It wasn't that he had gone through academia and had great degrees. Not there's anything wrong with that. Of course it's good. But it wasn't because of his intellectual knowledge. It's because he knew Christ. And that's the wisdom that really counts. So, while he gave these facts about history, it was quite evident as he spoke that he was not speaking dry historical facts. He was speaking of a Savior whom he knew. Just the point of witness. He spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ as the redeeming Savior because he talked to them how Christ was crucified. In fact, he said, you murdered him. He spoke about Christ as the risen Savior. And he also spoke about him as the reigning Savior. You know, if you study it carefully, he told these men Christ is reigning. You crucified him on a tree, but he's risen and he's reigning today in glory. He had knowledge. That's the knowledge that counts. And when you have the knowledge of the facts, wisdom is more than that. It's the Holy Spirit enabling you to apply it. But maybe you say, well, that's fine. Stephen could do that, but I could never do it. I could never do it. Well, I'll give you a verse. I'll not turn to it for time. But if you remember the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of Luke chapter 21. The Lord told his disciples that you're going to be taken by people in the synagogue, by governments, by kings, by rulers. You're going to be arrested. You're going to be brought forth before them in a court. You know what the Lord said? Take no thought what you're going to say. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that we ought not to prepare. Of course we ought. But he just said, look, don't worry about it. Why? Because in Luke 21, this is what he says. It shall turn for you for a testimony. But I don't know what to say. Listen, the master said when the time comes, I will give you a mouth and wisdom. Isn't that what's fulfilled in Stephen? These people said to him, go ahead and speak. And God gave Stephen wisdom. What's the encouragement? Christian, God can give you wisdom. Not to give a long lecture or a long message as Stephen gave, no, but a little word in the right way at the right time. God can do that. I love the story many, many years ago, and I don't think it was Spurgeon, it was someone else told it, that in the church there was a young university student was coming and listening to the sermons. He heard the minister was told he was an agnostic. That means someone not sure. Don't know if there's a God or not. Agnostic. Of course, if you want it in the Latin, it's ignoramus. But anyway, agnostic, don't know. Gnostic, gnosis means no. And so the minister heard this, so he prepared all those great lectures and to prove the existence of God and the arguments, the theological argument, the teleological argument, the cosmological argument. That's about all I remember from theology. But anyway, all the different arguments to prove there's a God. Sometime later, this young man came and said he wanted to join the church because he had come to know Christ as Savior. Well, which one of my sermons convinced you? None of them. He said, there's an old lady comes to the church, and there's a lot of steps, and she has difficulty going down on the stick she carries. And I went over and took her by the elbow and helped her down the steps. And she just turned to me before I went and grabbed me by the elbow and said, young man, do you know my Savior? That's all she said. But as I walked home that night, I couldn't get that out of my mind. To that lady, Christ was not simply a character in a storybook or a character out of history. That lady knew him personally. The Lord used that lady. God can use us, give us wisdom. So he's filled with the Spirit, he had wisdom to speak. Ah, but then let's go on. He had power to stand for Christ. Look at verse 8 of chapter 6. Look at verse 8. What is to be filled of the Holy Spirit? Verse 8, and Stephen, to be full of the Holy Spirit means you're full of faith and power. Doesn't the book of Acts talk about the power of the Spirit? And my, what power he had to stand. Go over to chapter 7, 51. Isn't this amazing? The strength that he had to stand. Now he knew that these men could put him to death. Oh, better be careful what I say. Look what he says in verse 51. He looked them in the eyeball. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hardened ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. End of verse 52. You took show before the coming of the just one, that's Christ, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. He looked these, this is the judges on the bench. He said, listen, you're a bunch of stiff-necked people. You knew the truth and you've rejected it. And you murdered your Messiah. You betrayed him. That's not the usual thing you say in a court, is it? My, what courage this man had. He must have been such a brave man. My, wouldn't you like to meet Stephen, such a brave... You've got it wrong. Where did he get his courage from to stand? Where did he get the power? Think back this morning. The filling with the oil. Because he was controlled and filled with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't natural power that enabled him to stand. Stephen was just like you and I. Nobody likes to be ill thought of. Nobody likes to be persecuted. Nobody says, oh great, they're going to put me to death. This is wonderful. Nobody in their right mind likes that. But Stephen knew the Lord, and the Holy Spirit gave him the power and the courage to stand up for Christ. That's what happened. And I think back to where the Lord said to his disciples, you know, it's amazing how often the Lord warned his disciples that they were going to suffer. Told them, you're going to suffer. You know, the world would think that's a crazy way to get followers, isn't it? You follow me, you're going to suffer. And he told the disciples, they're going to take you and they're going to kill you. But fear not them that kill the body. Fear him, that's God, who can destroy the body and soul in hell. In other words, get your priorities right. Don't fear those that will put you to death. Isn't that what the great Polycarp in the early church history said? 84 years of age when they brought him and were going to burn him, and the old emperor said, if I'll burn you, just go ahead. We'll put you to death, go ahead. It'll just mean I'll go to heaven sooner. That's paraphrasing it, but you can read it in church history. Isn't that what the martyrs did? Burnt at the stake. Why? God gave them courage. It wasn't natural. Courage filled with the Holy Spirit to have courage, boldness to stand. You see, if you kneel before God, you can stand before men. That's the point. Ordinary man. But here's a third one in verse 8 of chapter 6. When you're full of the Spirit, here's the reason he was such a light. He was full of the Holy Spirit, he had wisdom. He was full of the Holy Spirit, he had power to stand for Christ. Verse 8 talks about, of chapter 6, full of faith. He had faith to suffer for Christ. Faith to suffer. Nobody likes to suffer. Said that already. But he had faith to suffer. Wasn't going to give in. He'd rather suffer than betray the Savior. He had faith to suffer. And it's interesting, the sequence. I know sometimes if you get the story wrong, and if you go through chapter 7 from verse 50, many think that what happened was just as the stones were raining before Stephen, as the stones came upon him for his testimony for Christ, Stephen looked up to heaven as he was dying and saw Christ standing. Well, that's not exactly how it happened. He was in the courtroom. You check chapter 7. That's the sequence of events. He was in the courtroom when he said it. You see, in verse 54 of chapter 7, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with his teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried with a loud voice. Then they took him and stoned him. In other words, he said it when he was in the courtroom. He turned to those men and he said, I see the one who you crucified, and I can see him by faith. And he's there in glory reigning. And that made them mad. That's why they did stone him. Because he said that. Because they had rejected Jesus of Nazareth as their Messiah. And when they heard him say that, that's why they rushed on him. He had faith and he had a vision of Christ reigning in heaven. That's the key we're after. And that's how he could die. And that's why as the stones bounced off him, He could still see in his mind eye. The Holy Spirit gave him a vision of heaven and gave him the assurance that this world is not all there is. And as he died there with those stones upon him, he still, by faith, was looking up into heaven. That's what faith is. Faith is not something that stops you suffering. Have you ever heard people tell you, if only you had enough faith, you'd be healed? Doesn't matter what the disease is, if you had just a faith. And they often tell Joni, the girl crippled from, what was it, age 18. I've heard her speak or watched the videos of her different times, and how Christians even to this day come and say, now if you just had faith, you'd get up out of your wheelchair and walk. Which is greater, faith to escape or faith to endure? Faith to keep going through the suffering. The Bible doesn't teach that faith will keep you from suffering, but faith will enable you to suffer and give glory to Christ, whether he heals or doesn't heal. Like the three Hebrew boys or young men, God is able to deliver us, but if not, doesn't matter. That's what faith is. Faith looks forward. Do you have that faith? That's what faith is. It's only the Holy Spirit can work that faith in your heart, that there is a heaven, the Savior's reigning. And if you come to die, he'll give you that dying grace and he'll bring you home to glory. He had faith to suffer. That's why he was a witness. Do you know, by the way, and I want to move on to that second point, but you know when you read in your Bible the word witness? It doesn't say martyr in this chapter, but you all know that Stephen is the first Christian martyr. We see that word martyr. It's spelt slightly different in the Greek, but it's the same word. Do you know that is the term translated witness? When you read in the book of Acts, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you and ye shall be witnesses. It's martyros. It's martyr. Martyr and witness are the same term. Now, of course, not all witnesses were martyred. But you know what that brings out? Stephen didn't suffer and die to be a martyr. But he suffered and died because he already was a martyr. Do you follow what I'm saying? He suffered because, in other words, right now, we either are or are not martyrs. The word's linked, a witness, a martyr. But Stephen had already determined, whether it means death or not, I'm going to be a light for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the point we're making. He already had made up his mind. He was going to stand for Christ. Well, when you read this, filled with the Holy Spirit, wisdom to speak, power to stand, faith to suffer, well then, and realize it wasn't because Stephen was such a great man. Stephen would be the first to say, it's not me, but Christ has filled me with his Spirit and enabled me to do this. Well, there's no excuse for any of us. Well then, what's the result of shining? That's the reason for shining. What's the result? Well, there's two results. There was a man called Saul. As I said, I believe he would have debated with Stephen earlier in this chapter. But when they came to kill Stephen, the men left their clothes at the feet of Saul because he was a noted rabbi. And he saw Stephen die and he heard him witness as he died, Lord, lay not this charge against him. And the light and the witness that Stephen gave, it shone into Saul's heart. Oh, it was some time later. But remember the Savior said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. It was in his conscience. He couldn't get out of the fact that he saw Stephen die. Is Jesus of Nazareth really the Messiah? How could he be? And he's debating. The Holy Spirit's convicting Saul. So what's the result of shining for Christ, of being a light? Well, Saul was saved. And who knows, there could have been others saved as well. But there's another result. You know what it was? Some of them were stiff-necked. Not what we read already in chapter 7. Verse 51, ye stiff-necked. A And what was their reaction to them? Well, they gnashed with their teeth. They're furious. And they cry out. And they run to Stephen and grab him. And they drag him out of the courtroom. And they pick up stones and they want to kill him. They want to get his voice silenced. We don't want to hear. That's what it is. We don't want to hear this message. Don't talk to us about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's only a man. He's not the Messiah. Don't talk to us about that. Have you ever had anybody say that to you? They don't want to hear you talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. These men didn't want to hear anymore. Don't talk to me about salvation. They hardened their heart. What a response. You see, don't always expect that people will respond when we witness. It's not always the case. The Lord Jesus Christ was the great light. John 1, he's the light. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Why? Why did they not receive Christ the light? Because men love darkness rather than light. I hadn't intended to talk about that snake this morning. It just came in when we're talking about getting the lantern to rush down. You need it lit, the snake. I said 18 feet. I think my wife said to somebody, I think she thought it was 16 feet. I was exaggerating. But anyway, there's a picture there we'll have tonight just to show. But if you want to see it, of that snake and so on, the light. But thinking back to New Guinea, some of you heard me tell this before, because it was so hot and in the jungle and moist and so on, you're inundated with cockroaches and little insects, white ants, termites they're called. And we had a little building separate, and you kept stuff in it, a case with shoes as the children grew older and so on and other things. I remember after a few weeks going down and looking in, and you know, the termites had eaten the whole case. They'd even eaten some of the leather shoes and left the metal eye. Now they can go, if you know anything about the jungles and tropics, they can just like a plague destroy wood and leather and just go. Well, every so often, and we had traps everywhere for cockroaches and so on so as to keep them under control, but every so often you would get the boxes that were stored and you didn't open them to see whether cockroaches or other insects. You carried them out. Side where we had a little house, netting were around it, and there was some grass, not very large, but grass there. And you know what you did? You just tipped the box over, and the stuff would run out, and then see if there's any cockroaches or insects. You know what they did? When you did it, when the sun's shining, whoosh, they ran like lightning to get under a rock, to get into the dark. They couldn't stand the light. Used to be fun. Because we kept hens and used to go, and all these hens come running. They just run. And the boy, they loved the cockroaches. Lovely strong eggs. I tell you, the yolks were really strong. Put you off to eating eggs now. But it's amazing. That's how you did it. You didn't start looking for every cockroach. They couldn't stand the light. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And when we witness for Christ, don't be surprised. Yes, we pray God will save some through the light of witness, but don't be surprised if people get angry and annoyed and rush at you. It only shows the darkness of the heart and the need for the Holy Spirit to break people down. That's the reactions. But I want to just finish with one thought. The result of having a stiff neck. Speaks there that stiff-necked. Now, stiff-necked is a term for a hard neck, it literally means. It's an Old Testament term. It's a New Testament term. God said it of Israel. Stephen said it here of the people. What's the significance? Well, it describes somebody who knows the truth. Somebody who knows it. They've heard the message. They know it. But they're deliberately rejecting it. It goes to the idea of a farmer with the plow, you know, upon the, or the yoke upon the neck of the oxen. And they put the yoke, maybe two of them, and they have a long pole, the goad it's called, and they would stick it and get the ox go this way or that way. But you got some oxen and they were so stubborn, intractable, unteachable. They were unyielding. And might yet stick it and it still wouldn't go. Stubbornness. It's the idea. I remember Ken Johnson, when he tried his mission, he was the leader for some times. He said when he was a young boy, he used to work with mules. My, they can be stubborn. He said at one time he lit a fire under one that wouldn't go, and then he smelt the hair singeing, so he put the fire out. Don't we talk about as stubborn as a mule? Well, stiff-necked means stubborn. And you know, people can be stubborn. You know God's word, it's clear. And even God's people can be stiff-necked at times. Israel was stiff-necked. What's the result? What's the result? Well, just in closing, turn to Proverbs 29. Because to me, this is the classic verse on the result of being stiff-necked. Here is Stephen. He preached with power of the Holy Spirit. The result was some were saved. Some hardened their neck. That's the response. But in chapter 29 of the book of Proverbs, here's a classic verse on what will happen if a person continues stiff-necked. Stiff-necked. Somebody who knows the truth. Let me just go through it very, very quickly. If you have it open there, Proverbs 29:1, he that being often reproved hardeneth, that's been stiff-necked, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and not without remedy. You know the amazing thing? The man to whom Stephen spoke knew this verse. Because we know from history that Jewish men memorized the book of Proverbs. And the men to whom he spoke were the religious leaders. So it's without question that those men knew and could quote Proverbs 29:1. And yet Stephen said, you're hardening your neck, your stiff neck. It didn't register. That's the danger of being familiar with spiritual things where it doesn't affect you. Look at this verse. There's the spiritual direction God gives. Often reproved. Isn't that God's grace? Over and over again, he reproves again and again. His mercy, he reproves through the scriptures, through his servants, through the Holy Spirit. But look at the stubborn disobedience. He hardens his neck. No, I'm not going to obey. And look at the sudden destruction. Shall suddenly be destroyed. That's what can happen when somebody's stiff-necked, hardens their neck. And there's a settled destiny here. Look, without remedy. What does that mean? What the verse is saying is, here's someone and they've heard the gospel message over and over and over and over, and the Spirit of God is pleading through Stephen. Go back to his story. And they know the truth. They can even quote the truth. But they won't come. They won't submit to the Spirit. In fact, Stephen said, you resist the Spirit. And God's patience can cease. Comes the time when it's over. Sudden destruction. Settled destiny, no remedy. Because a person can be brought up in a Christian home, hear the gospel again and again and again, but if they continue to harden their neck and resist, there can be sudden destruction and no hope, no remedy, because there's no escape from hell. Oh, thank God the Lord Jesus Christ died. He died to provide salvation. And we have to offer Christ and the gospel to everyone. Tell them you need to repent. There's a day of judgment. But Christ has died. Turn to him while you have time. Don't harden your neck. Don't be stiff-necked. What about Stephen? Well, the stones rained upon him. But I believe Christ was standing there. Welcome home. Well done, good and faithful servant. And of course, we mentioned Stephen a few weeks ago, the word crown. That's what Stephen means, or Stephanie. Crown. He won the martyr's crown. And when Stephen died, most likely a young man, What Stephen could say in the words of the hymn wasn't written then, it will be worth it all. He could say, it was worth it all because I have seen Christ. May God help us to be witnesses for him.